From the City of Angels off the Pacific Ocean, good morning, good evening, wherever you may be across the nation, around the world. I'm George Norrie. Welcome to Coast AM. We'll have open lines later this hour for you. And next hour, he investigates mysteries of the world. Ken Klein joins us for a fascinating 3 hours right here in Coast to Coast AM. Well, they say adding to evidence that a little wine can do a good heart, a new study suggests that women who drink moderate amounts may have less inflammation in their blood vessels. I guess the same is for men, too. Spanish researchers found that after 4 weeks of drinking 2 glasses of wine a day, women showed lower levels of certain inflammatory substances in their blood. The findings reported in the American Journal of Clinical Nutrition suggest a mechanism by which wine, particularly red wine, may protect the heart. We've heard this for years, but studies are beginning to back this up. Numerous studies have found that wine drinkers tend to have lower rates of heart disease. Research also suggests that higher levels of good HDL cholesterol may be one reason, though not a full explanation of the benefit. In a moment, we'll check in with Dr. Robin Falkov about this story. Mice resistant to cancer have been created in a breakthrough that could lead to a human treatment free of side effects. A protein produced by the creatures may hold the key to a future therapy. It attacks tumor cells but does not harm healthy tissue in the body. Scientists hope it can one day be adapted for use in humans, saving them the pain, the nausea and hair loss usually associated with cancer treatments. The breakthrough hinges on a mouse gene called PAR4, which produces a protein. The U.S. researchers genetically engineered a group of mice to have a higher level of the protein than normal. These creatures were found to be immune to many forms of the disease, such as cancer of the liver and prostate, according to the journal Cancer Research. A farmer whose hand became stuck in a combine harvester had to cut off his arm after the machine burst into flames. Samson Parker of South Carolina was trying to clear a trapped corn stalk when his glove got caught inches from its rotating steel rollers. He managed to jam the machine with a metal rod and began to cut his fingers loose with a penknife. But when a spark from the harvester ignited a fire, he had to take the blade to his arm. "I just told myself, I'm not going to die here," he said. "I just kept fighting, kept praying. And then when I get loose, I jumped up running. I had blood squirting from my arm. It was pretty scary there for a while." The father of three stumbled to a road where he flagged down a passerby who happened to be a fireman with paramedic training, Doug Spinks. He wrapped up his arm and called for help. In Jacksonville, Florida, the man who invented Gatorade and sparked the multi-million-dollar sports drink industry has died. Dr. Robert Cade is dead of kidney failure. He was 80 years old. Kids out of line, spanking might not be the option in Massachusetts if a proposal takes hold in the state legislature there. The proposal submitted by a nurse would ban corporal punishment, including spanking, in all cases for children under age 18, unless it is to save them from danger. Parents would face charges of abuse or neglect if this becomes law. In Annapolis, Maryland, after months of frantic diplomacy, top officials from more than 40 nations converged on this historic state capital there for what President Bush hopes will be the launch of the first Israeli-Palestinian peace talks in 7 years. Buffeted by skepticism over prospects of the Annapolis conference, it can set the stage for the creation of a Palestinian state by the end of Mr. Bush's second term. His administration has downplayed expectations for major breakthroughs, but insists the exercise is not futile. Youths in Paris suburbs in the city of Toulouse torched cars and set rubbish ablaze in fresh urban violence in France with police out in force. The situation remains tense, but there were only isolated incidents of vandalism, and officials reported no major clashes between youths and police, in contrast to Monday night when around 80 police officers were injured when rioters pelted them with stones and petrol bombs. As a matter of fact, several weeks ago, right here on Coast to Coast AM, intuitive remote viewer Sean David Morton, before any of this happened, said this.
What is happening in Europe is that the European Union and the formation of a central currency there, they are doing exactly the same thing to the Europeans they did to us. They will bankrupt out Europe And once they bankrupt out Europe and form a depression, if you will, they'll be able to gain complete control of assets, and they'll do everything to the Europeans that they did to the United States between 1933 and 1945. You're just seeing an acceleration of that process now. And with France, and France is done. I mean, you'll see riots in France by the end of this year. By January, February, you'll see riots in Paris. You'll see riots all over because their entire social structure is going to completely collapse. The country's bankrupt. They can't export anything. Germany's the same way.
That's Sean David Morton. When he's right, you gotta say it. The urban unrest triggered by the deaths of two youths who were on a moped that collided with a police car in France are creating some of these problems. Two of the Navy's top admirals say that China's refusal to permit a U.S. aircraft carrier to make a Thanksgiving port call at Hong Kong was surprising and troubling. Admiral Timothy Keating says this is perplexing. It's not helpful at all. The USS Kitty Hawk, which has its home port near Tokyo, was forced to return early to Japan when Chinese authorities at the last minute refused to let the warship and its escort vessels enter Hong Kong Harbor. Star Wars fans with $153,000 to spare can now buy their very own Ewok-style houses. A Canadian carpenter has a company called Free Spirits, and he has suspended these spheres in trees. They are accessible by rope bridges. The 11-foot-wide, eco-friendly houses can sleep four, allowing families to live in the forest without the need to worry about their carbon footprints. $153,000. Okay, they say wine is good for us. In a moment, we'll check in with Dr. Robin Falkov and find out why. Okay, here she is, Dr. Robin Falkov. She's going to give us a little bit more information about this story that we apparently have known for years, that a little bit of wine helps you out. Hey, Robin, how are you?
Good, George. How are you doing?
Good. You know, you're an alternative medical practitioner. You've been doing this for many, many years. I remember hearing you talking with Richard Hoagland at conferences about wine and its true purposes and the fact that it can help people. Here we have a research now, years later, that backs up things like that. What's going on?
Oh, definitely. And the timing is perfect so everyone can have a clear conscience for the holidays and for all their New Year's Eve celebrations. But what's going on, I mean, there have been many, many studies over the years, and this one just reiterates the fact that the relaxation benefits and the ability of the resveratrol that's in red wine mainly is able to elevate your high-density lipoproteins, which are the protective ones. And you're very well aware of the damage that gets done in the body by the low-density lipoproteins, mm-hmm. you know, causing all those little bumps inside the circulatory system that can break off and have clots or, you know, little breaks in the system, all that stuff that chelation helps. So red wine will relax the blood vessels, and it will help increase the HDL levels. And, you know, that's a real biggie because there's so much stress that creates all this subclinical inflammation in people, and any type of relaxation benefit is great.
You know, according to the study, it says that it may lower the risk of dying from heart disease by one-third compared to non-drinkers. This is absolutely astounding, Robin.
Oh, yes. This is big news, and pretty much the only people that have to stay away from wine would be someone with liver disease or taking medication that is contraindicated with the use of wine. But this is something that applies to most people. It's great. You have research done in 1992 when people were looking at the diet of the French people and wondering how could they eat a high saturated fat diet and still have good health. And they found that the small portions and the intake of red wine, small amounts, with their meals was what added to these benefits.
Why is red wine more pronounced, has a better effect than white wine, Robin?
Well, red wine has a higher concentration of polyphenols, and they are plant compounds. And these compounds act as antioxidants, and they can help to reduce the inflammation.
You know, Robin, I on weekends will enjoy a glass of Merlot,
But Monday through Friday, it's kind of a joke around the network. People know that if I go to dinner or lunch or meetings, I don't drink at all. Monday through Friday, it's just always been a personal thing with me. Now I see this study. here's my in.
I'm sure a lot of people will feel now, aha, it's okay.
It's medicinal.
Well, it does help. It does help. But I understand what you're saying. I like to have a small glass of red wine at the end of the day when I don't have things to do. You've got a long day every day.
Absolutely. Now, the supplements, resveratrol, the supplements that they get out of red wine, are those useful? Do they have some kind of beneficial effect?
Yes, yes. They are useful. And resveratrol is getting a lot of publicity now because of all the studies that have come out showing the benefits of drinking red wine. So what you have, resveratrol and other antioxidants, they prevent free radicals from forming, and that formation damages the cells of the body. But what they're finding is that resveratrol also seems to have multiple anti-cancer properties, and it can reduce DNA mutations leading to cancer. It can help induce cancer cells to die and block the formation of new blood vessels that feed tumors. So there are a lot of studies going on at this time to, increase the knowledge about this area of research.
Rama, here's a question that really surrounds the mysteries of this universe, and that is, here we have human beings on a planet existing using, let's say, ingredients like the grapes turned into wine that help your heart. It's almost as if everything on this planet, as long as it's not destroyed, has a purpose to help us exist, to help us live longer, to help us enjoy our lives. I find this astounding that the purposes of wine would be to help inflammation. I mean, it's, who would design this? Now, that's a rhetorical question.
It's fascinating. The more I've learned about medicine and the human body, the more you realize that there is definitely a design here. And I've heard you mention many times how you believe that the cure for whatever we need is here on this
right
planet
here.
With
yep.
us.
Just got to find it.
Yeah, and I agree with you, and that's why people that laugh at save the rainforest and, you know, save all these areas that have unknown plants and things there that can save human lives. I mean, there's so much research going on, and the benefits just keep growing with the things that they find.
I think there is so much balance on this planet that
definitely.
with whatever the ill may be, there's something positive to take care of it, to fight it, to cure it. You just got to find it.
I agree with you, and that's one of the big things that I try to convey when I'm giving a workshop or working with my patients is, there are many, many choices. People can't give up and be frustrated and think there's only one answer. That's the beauty of where research has brought us now, that we can pick and choose what suits us. We're not limited, you know, into this narrow little box of only taking one, you know, medication or pharmaceutical that can have potential side effects and dangers. We have choices.
If you were a white wine drinker, would you switch to red?
I've been drinking red for years, and I think this would certainly be convincing enough for people to switch to red.
I mean, is there any beneficial ingredient in white wine at all?
You know, it has a lower amount of the polyphenols. They're there, but the white wines do not have the equal benefits.
All right.
Relaxation from the wine in a small amount, but not the health benefits.
What is new at healthfreedomrights.com?
Oh, my. Well, there are new codex meetings going on in Europe, and, you know, that battle is still waging, and our health freedom rights are in a precarious condition. And we have one candidate who's been addressing and supporting health freedom rights for years, and that's Ron Paul. So there's a lot that people can read up on and pay attention to and speak up. We have an election year coming up next year. People have got to take action. They have to ask questions. They have to demand accountability from these people that want our votes.
Well, I hope we get that. I mean, if we lose our rights to be able to help cure our own illnesses, with our own, natural ways, we've got a problem here, Robin.
Yeah, definitely. It's very sad to watch things being removed from the marketplace and hearing these horror stories in Europe where the prices have increased tenfold for simple supplements. People said, oh, it can't happen. It didn't happen here yet, but let me assure you that there are things that are not as easily available.
We knew that was going to happen. When they passed this law in Europe, we knew that supplements were going to go out of sight if you could get them at all.
Yes. So how do we wake up our country, George?
Well, we keep pounding away at it here, Robin, to talk about alternative medicine. Look, I think practical medicine is great. I know some doctors who are devoted to their profession. They're on top of things. They're looking for the new ways. You know, the stories that we continue to have, the one about cancer and the protein with mice. I think science, by and large, does try to help people. I think the problem is when some of these large pharmaceutical companies get involved, and then they go to marketplace too fast with a drug where in some cases they know it might not help us. Now we have the danger, for example, with young children and Tamiflu.
Yeah.
We've been saying for years, hey, be careful about taking a flu shot. And then everybody said, well, we've got this Tamiflu. That's good. And now we find out that it could be dangerous to children. I mean, what do you do?
Well, it's up to each individual to inform themselves. Those who have the internet, have the information at their fingertips. If you don't have that, there are the libraries. You can ask questions. You have to read. You have to learn, especially when it comes to your children. There are so many little things that are placed before parents. Okay, sign this, that you're authorizing us to test your child. If the parent signs that, then that makes it mandatory that if the school who has authorized this, medical testing, finds a problem with the child must be treated.
Well, here in Prince George's County in Maryland, I shouldn't say here because I'm not there, but, they want to force vaccinations.
Put parents
in jail.
Yeah, I've been reading very tragic stories about these forced vaccinations, and the first person I heard speak about that was Joyce Riley.
Yep.
About 12 years ago, describing what happened to soldiers at gunpoint, and then you're hearing about the same thing happening for little kids. I mean, it's bizarre, and it's because we've all let this happen.
And you could see how just a simple passage of a law could change it for all of us. I mean, you just look at what's happening with the income tax and this argument now, whether there's a law that a tax code that even exists or not. If they say it's a law and they seem to pass something, we're stuck with these things until we can battle our way back. And if they begin to control supplements that you buy at your favorite drugstore or wherever you want to get them over the internet, I mean, we got a real problem in this country.
Definitely. And if they replace what we have been accustomed to, the natural bioavailable supplements with synthetic ones that the body can't use, they still are able to make a lot of money, sell more product, and there's no therapeutic effect. That's really going to do anything.
Okay, Robin. Well, we'll keep pounding away at this. I know you will, too. Say hello to your other half there, Richard C., okay?
I will certainly do that. Thank you, George. Good talking with
you. Okay, you too. That's Robin Falk of Alternative Medicine. Saved Richard Hoagland's life years ago when he had a heart attack. Changed his life, as a matter of fact. And, now they've changed each other's life. They date each other. We've got open lines for you now for the rest of this hour. West of the Rockies, 800-618-8255. East of the Rockies, 800-825-5033. First time caller line, 818-501-4721. And the wild card line, 818-501-4109. Open lines for you. You want to react to the possibility in Massachusetts where it's might be against the law to spank your child? What do you think about that? I'm George Norrie, back in a moment on Coast to Coast AM. And with you, of course, open lines. Let's go to the phones. Wildcard line, you're up with us. Hello there.
Hi. I'm Sharon from Pittsburgh.
Hey, Sharon.
I just wanted to mention for people who want the benefits of the resveratrol but don't want to drink the alcohol, that they can have grape juice.
Oh, really? Does that have just as much?
It has about one-third the amount. But, again, if somebody doesn't want to run the alcohol through their kidneys or liver,
right.
There is a lot of people out there who really could use the benefits of the resveratrol.
Oh,
but,
absolutely.
You know,
they can't drink.
They really shouldn't be drinking. You could drink just, you know, three times as much grape juice and not tax your kidneys and liver. So I just figured I'd mention that for, you know. And it seems that heating the juice the way it's usually sold, you know, pasteurized, I don't think that affects it at all. So,
in one of the high-powered supplements I take, resveratrol is in it.
Oh, that's the other way.
Yeah, it sure is.
I wanted to just quickly say that I had called about the reverse speech quite a while ago, mm-hmm. I guess a month ago. And in the meantime, I reversed a little tiny bit of a call in to Ian with one of his guests, and I couldn't believe what I was listening for myself to hear if I was saying something about my own skin parasite problem in reverse speech.
You have a skin parasite problem?
Yeah, it's just awful.
What happened?
there are so many people with skin parasites. And
this is not Morgellons now, right?
Well, no, it's not. It's not. But Morgellons has been linked to skin parasites recently by yet another research group. But anyway, I was thinking, let me check this stuff out. I ran it through some software, reversed it. And I wasn't saying anything, and Ian wasn't saying anything, but the guests said some things that were so clear, and the several sentences very clear within a 30-second time period, where the things that were being said were all related to each other, and really clear, coherent sentences. And I emailed it. I sent the sound bit to him.
Well, send me one too.
I'm gonna let him okay it, just, you know, because it is his subconscious. I figured I was.
It is his subconscious.
He'll get back to me and okay it.
All right, that's fair enough.
I'd love to share it with you.
Okay, thanks, Sharon. Appreciate it. Maybe it's time for a full show on reverse speech. East of the Rockies, you're on Coast to Coast. Hi there.
I don't know if it's something about us people born in 1950, but your bumper music is the absolute best. We must have been separated. I never heard a song I didn't like.
It's my twin. How are you?
Yeah, I'm calling about the lady took the words out of my mouth with grape juice. But red wine, according to Dr. Gabe Merkin, used to be a syndicated talk show.
Yep, yep, and a good one.
You know Gabe? Okay.
Yep.
One of the few migraine triggers. So anybody that gets migraine clusters, it might be something to consider not going into that if it does that.
Yeah.
Red wine, he says, bananas, chocolate, things like that.
They do that.
Now, one of the guys that you had on one time, I think it was Ian's guest, is just the most fascinating. I bought 50 of his books. I've given them out. T. Colin Campbell. I'd like
you
to have him back on sometime.
A long time ago. Okay, thanks.
Great guy.
Let's go to our first time caller line. You're on Coast to Coast with us. Where are you calling from?
Hello?
Hello, sir.
Yes, George?
Yep.
You know, I don't usually listen to radio at night, but I happen to have the radio on tonight, and I heard you say first-time caller, so I thought I'd call.
Okay.
Are you familiar with Toluca Lake in any way where you work and in the area there?
Yeah, I mean, I don't go there a lot, but I've heard about it, sure.
Yeah, but you know, the other day, my wife and I, right after Thanksgiving, we went out, did a little shopping in Burbank. And we were coming down Riverside Drive, and we see this man in a gutter. He had this old scrubby coat on. He looked so ragged, and he was so dirty looking. You know, my wife says, oh, my God, look at that poor man. She says, let's give him something. I says, what are you going to give him? She says, let's give him a couple of dollars. So I pulled the car over near him, and I said, sir. And he looked up, and I said, here, I said, why don't you just get out of the gutter and go and get yourself something to eat? And I gave him a couple of bucks. And when I looked at him, George, without a word of lie, I hate to tell you this because it's almost unbelievable. His eyes, they were sparkling blue. His eyebrows were meticulously, they were beautiful. His face lit up like you know what a magenta is?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. He had that glow, didn't he?
Huh?
He had a glow.
Oh, oh, my God. I mean, and his face was clean and beautiful. My wife said, oh, my God. And I handed the money to him because it was on my side of the window. And he says, God be with you. I couldn't believe it. My hair's still standing up on my arms from it.
He might have been God.
My life.
He might have been God. We'll be back in a moment with more open line calls on Coast to Coast AM. George Norrie here, back at you on Coast to Coast AM. Let's go west of the Rockies. Hi there.
Hey, George. How's it going?
Going well, thank you.
Great. This is not my first time calling.
Well, welcome to the show. What finally got you to call?
Well, I just wanted to tell you a little story I had that came through a close encounter with an accident I had. I was driving my car, and I came to a four-way stop sign, no cars around, and my light turned green, and all of a sudden, my car just died, and the minute that died, a car came screaming right through a red light, and probably could have T-boned me, and it was just a close encounter. I just thought, he was watching me.
Close encounter of the kind you don't want. You're lucky. Let's go, first time caller line. You're up with us. Hello there.
Hello?
Yes, good morning.
Hey, this is Justin from Mount Pleasant, Michigan.
Sure thing. It is morning now, then, where you are.
Oh, yeah, very early. I was curious, have you heard of Mark Emery?
Mark Emery.
Yeah, the Prince of Pot.
The Prince of Pot?
Yep.
P-O-T?
Yeah, like marijuana, yep.
Is he, what, a medicinal marijuana guy? Who is he?
Well, he's like an activist, and I guess he got in trouble. He lives in Vancouver. He was selling seeds, and I guess they're trying to extradite him here to the U.S.
I'll check him out.
All right, yep. Go to YouTube and type in Mark Emery.
Okay, so why do you like the guy? What's he done?
Well, he's just a great advocate for the medical marijuana community.
Well, as you know, I'm a supporter in the use of marijuana for medical purposes.
Yeah, well, I think it's definitely been proven now that it's beneficial. So
I changed my mind a long time ago when I did some interviews in St. Louis with some people who cannot take pharmaceutical pain pills. And the only thing that has helped them was the medicinal use of marijuana for them, and it was dramatic for them. Their pain is gone. They're not sick because of the painkillers, and I think every state and the federal government should approve it. Only a handful of states have approved it. The federal government has not, to help people out, and it should be under surveillance, of course, but that's another show all by itself. Next up, let's go to our next wild card line. We have many. You're on Coast to Coast. Hello there. I hear you driving.
Hello?
Yes, sir.
Hey, let me turn off the truck.
Okay.
How you doing?
I'm doing great. Where are you?
Great. I'm Jacksonville, Florida.
Okay.
Yeah, I got two questions quickly.
Oh, right.
First of all, what kind of red wine do they say use? I want to know which kind of red wine.
You can use, you can drink either the Merlot or the Cabernet. I think they would both do the same thing.
Okay. And my second question, I want to be a believer in remote viewing, but when I listen to your specialist, the one that's trying to find the wrecked plane, it kind of just let me down because every time they come on, they have a different excuse why they couldn't, you know, find the plane or why they wouldn't let them out there, you know. Yeah. But I want to learn, you know.
Well, you know, for some people who have mastered remote viewing, they have been able to do some incredible things. Now, in defense of Ed Dames in this particular case, you know, he went on the air really quickly and said that he sees Stephen Fawcett as being dead, and it appears he was right about that. And he's been trying to pinpoint the location of Steve Fawcett. He's got it down now to 275 square feet. I mean, that's a pretty small area. And he has passed that information on to Stephen Fawcett's friends and the old search party, but they're not doing anything with it. And I think Ed has said that he will send in a crew at his own expense sometime in March if he has to.
Right.
I just don't know why they don't take his information. They've looked every place else and go there and see what's up.
Yeah. When are you going to have another show on how to do remote?
We do it every once in a while. We don't have anything scheduled right now, but just, you know, keep looking at the coasttocoastam.com website and, you know, just look at the weekly schedule. We always repost it on a Thursday. And just so some of you know, sometimes I get emails from people saying, what happened to the rest of the guests for the coming days? We post on Thursday for the entire week to come, and then that list gets smaller as we get down to Thursday. And then Thursday, the new list starts, just so you know. Let's go next to our next wild card line. You're up with us. Hello there.
Yeah, Daryl from Ohio.
Hey, Daryl.
You had a program on the other night about the regression
yes.
technique. I was just wondering, I live in Ohio, I was just wondering who could I contact because I'm adopted into a family, but I was told that I had some childhood traumatization from my natural parents of abuse and all that stuff. I was wondering, first off, would the regression actually help me? And who could I contact in the state of Ohio to attempt to have that done?
If you go to our website, coasttocoastam.com,
mm-hmm.
search for, there's a little section there, it says search. Just put in Bruce Goldberg.
Bruce Goldberg?
His name will come up. Email him once you get all that information and ask him who can help you in the region you live in. He'll send you a list of people.
Okay, that's great.
Okay, and you let us know what the results are, if you would.
Oh, look, I sure will do that.
Okay, very good. I've always wanted to say this, by the way. If you want to fast blast me, who knows the answer to this? First, you know, we gave out, but a couple weeks ago, you might remember, I did a fast blast question when we did Who's Behind the Secret Door? And nobody really got any of the guests right. And because a lot of the guests came from everywhere, they weren't well-known guests. They had appeared on Coast to Coast, but not on such a regular basis. And so nobody got it right, except one person. Her name is Brenda. And the deal was, you got to send me a fast blast of the name before I introduce, obviously, who it is. And the guest was Lionel Fanthorpe, as you know. And we had gotten, apparently, a few moments before I introduced Lionel, we had gotten Michael Fanthorpe, and not Lionel. And so the judges, the vast judges here, decided that she didn't win. And we were giving out, by that time, 20 books. And, you know, she sent us a really nice letter. And she said, you know, I was half right. So we're giving her half the books. Okay, that's fair. 10 books. Well, I'm going to give 5 books to the first person who fast blasts us this obvious question, and I'm only saying it because I promised my son I'd say it on national radio. He bet me that I would not. Who knows who said this? Get her done. That's all I'm going to say. I'm not going to do it anymore. Let's go to our first-time caller line. You're up with us on Coast to Coast. Hi there.
Hi, George. Aloha from Paradise.
Hi there.
Hawaii.
Thank you. What's new out there?
It's beautiful weather as always. I do want to thank you for taking my call and just thank you for such a wonderful program. I've never really been too much of a conspiracy theorist. However, through the enlightenment of and revelations of your wonderful guest, Alex Smith, namely, and just the I guess, coercions and the manipulations of us through the government, I just want to get your take as far as what's going on with these forced injections and forced immunizations as to the possible theory of the nanomachines and that type of situation that's going on.
Okay, let me talk about that for just a second before we go back to more calls. I think that there are a lot of people who are in the field, immunologists who really believe they are doing the right thing and they care about people and they're trying to solve these problems and these diseases, then I think that there's another faction out there that wants to control mankind one day and they would love to experiment with us. And maybe through some of these strange vaccines, that's a way that they would do it. And, you know, one day, if there's ever a disease, whether it's man-made or not, they're going to quarantine us if we don't get vaccines, and then we're going to have to fight back, and it's going to be a mess. I hope we never get to that point, but I think one day we will. That's one of my predictions. Write that down. I don't have a date for you, though. But I think it's, you know, again, it's going to be a battle between people who are trying to do the right thing and people who aren't. And that's the way it's going to end up. Wildcard Line, you're on the air with us. Hi there.
Yeah. Hey, George.
Yes, sir.
Yes, I have a question for you.
Okay.
I have an ongoing discussion with a 90-year-old Navy man. You being in the Navy, here's the question. He insists, we're talking about a compass that points north. He insists that no matter where you go, if you start out at point A and travel 30 miles, 15 degrees west, that if you point the compass back and it'll point to north, he says you could get back to the original point by always keeping the compass pointing at north. And I'm explaining that, no, you have to use the degrees and make a crossing point and follow the degrees back to where you came from.
I don't know. In as much as I was a public information officer, I don't know.
Maybe somebody can call in and explain that to me, because he's 90 years old. He's not budging an inch, and I'm open-minded.
Yeah, he really believes he's right, though, doesn't he?
Oh, yes, boy. I mean, you talk to a 90-year-old gentleman, you know, and I keep him company and go to the store for him. But, you know, he is just...
Well, tell him to start walking with his compass.
He has a bad hip and no legs, and...
He'll be 160 when he comes back around again.
Oh. Any books that I could look up? Any books?
I'll see who sends me a message, and if so, I'll pass it on. Okay? We'll do that, because I do not have the answer on that. I bet Hoagland would have it. First-time caller line, you're on the air with us on Coast to Coast. Hi there.
Hello, George.
Hi.
Hi, my name is Michael, and this is an absolute true story.
All right, Michael.
I was incarcerated in federal prison some years ago.
Okay.
And I was issued a prison ID number.
Mm-hmm.
Do you want to hear the number?
No, but that's okay. Unless we need the number. Is there a reason?
Okay. Actually, I did time. And when I got to my institution that I was supposed to go to, and I bought a master padlock, the first three set numbers, you know, the digits.
Okay.
You know, 1, 2, 3.
Or like 28, whatever. Yeah.
Yeah, the combination.
Mm-hmm.
Was exactly the same numbers as my federal ID number.
So what are the odds? What are the odds of that happening?
I don't know. I mean, it was unreal. When I got there, got to the commissary, bought my padlock for my locker. I looked at the combination, the little piece of paper that comes with it. I looked at it and I said, wait a second. So I pulled out my ID card and matched them up, and there was a perfect match.
Okay, what were the numbers? Now you can tell me.
Okay, my federal ID number, this is the public record now, is 36, 17, 40, 48.
Horrible measurements if you're a woman.
But, and my combination for the padlock was 36, 17, 4.
Really bad if you're a woman, but thanks. I don't know, synchronicity. By the way, Jason in British Columbia, he gets the books, the 5 books, because the guy who said, get her done, was Larry the Cable Guy. How many people knew about Tommy? How many people knew that? Lots? Oh, he said thousands came in. But Jason, you in British Columbia, you were the very first one, according to our electronic ticker clock, that told us exactly what time you called. So we'll get you the 5 books. They're books from past guests that continue to accumulate around here. Now, I'm going to be back in just a moment. Ken Klein joins us. He is, well, he's an expert on Earth mysteries. I'll be back.